is dwelling with God. What if I told you that God has set aside protection for those who dwell with Him? Let's discover what this means for you. Hello, and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson.
And I'm Jo Heather Dotson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we discuss how to dwell with God in relation to deeper Christian living.
Yeah, and Jo Heather, I am so excited about this topic of dwelling. I just published a new book, My God and Whom I Trust, a study of Psalms 91, and there is so much wealth of information in this book, and so I wanted to be able to share with you today on the topic of dwelling. Now, dwelling, for those who aren't familiar with the psalm, is the foundation of the whole psalm, and it starts off in verse 1 with, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." It says, "He who dwells," meaning the psalm is directed to those who dwell with God. Now, what this verse is saying here is that this whole psalm is grounded, and it's so important to understand what it means to dwell with God. And how do you obtain that? How do you obtain dwelling with God? I mean, it's so significant that this psalm actually repeated it in verse 9. And I'm going to read verse 9 and 10 because they kind of run together. So if you make the Most High your dwelling, then even the Lord who is my refuge, then it jumps down to verse 10, then no harm will befall you and no disaster will come near your tent. So many people out there are longing for the promises and protections of Psalms 91, that all the stuff that it outlines in this psalm. But many really don't know how to apply it to their lives. And so today in this episode, we're going to be sharing with you how you can dwell with God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was so thrilled when you shared with me, Tammy, that you were writing this book in Psalm 91. And I'm so excited. Here it is in my hands today. I just love how you take the time to go into each line of Psalm 91, because during COVID, so many people were relying on the promises outlined in this psalm. And, you know, as you've already said, it all starts with dwelling with God. But you may be listening and wondering, what does dwelling really mean? Well, dwelling is about remaining in a place or with a person for a period of time. And so you might think of it in terms as living as a resident in a home or an apartment. As you start to develop your own mental image around what dwelling is, and what it looks for you, you might apply that concept to your relationship with God. And you might notice that it's about meditating on God, living with Him as your first thought of the day, just sitting with Him and being with Him and remaining in Him as you reflect His love out into the world. Now, we're going to go into a much deeper dive today into dwelling with God. So as Tammy said, we want you to hang with us to hear more about how you can dwell with God and receive the promises of Psalm 91.
Yeah, amen. And so we're going to be continuing to share with you on the topic of dwelling. But first, I want to let you know how you can find us. So depending on what platform you are listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. But the most important thing you can do is to share this podcast to help spread the love and encouragement with your friends and your family or anybody that you know that could be in need of some love and encouragement in their life. On our website, too, at loveandencouragement.com, we feature early access to both video and audio every Wednesday. And if that's too much for you to think about going to our website, then we'll save some time and don't miss out on the episodes and sign up to our email list, and we will email it to you every Wednesday for early access. So back to our topic at hand, let's discover what it means to dwell with God. So like Jo Heather was saying, when you think about where you physically dwell, that place is your home or a regular place of gathering. When you take that visual and you apply it to the psalm, it is about dwelling with God and living your life with Him. God wants your heart to dwell with Him, but He also wants your thoughts to dwell on Him. Dwelling is not referred to a casual relationship with someone that you occasionally visit. that is referring to a, it's really referring to a deeper relationship with God, a trusting relationship with your Father in heaven. So if you only run to God in times of trouble or a few times of year, you're not dwelling with God, you're visiting him. And this is not something, I'm not saying this for, I know a lot of people might be offended. I'm not saying this as a condemnation statement, but something lovingly to point out, because we both, Joe and I, we both want you to have an understanding of what it means to dwell with God so that you can be assured that you are, because these promises are founded on that assurance that you're dwelling with God. So I want to take a moment, you know, to ask you to search your heart and ask yourself, you know, am I really dwelling with God? You know, here are a simple checklist I put together of some things that you can consider. So number one, do you spend time talking with God? Do you spend time thinking about God? Are you reading his word to get to know him? Are you seeking him about things? And look where your thoughts are. Are they focused away from God on the worldly things, or are they focused on the things of the kingdom? So there are just a few things, you know, and it doesn't take a whole lot of time to really go through the list, and maybe you can pick one a day that you're going to think about. You know, you don't have to like say, I know a lot of people out there are going to say, well, you know, I'm going to spend an hour with God in the morning, and I'm going to read his word for an hour, and then I'm going to maybe pray for 30 minutes. That's not how it works. That's not how regular, you don't do that with your spouse. That's not how regular relationships work. You don't say, honey, you got 30 minutes and then I got to go do dinner. That's not how relationships work. And that's not how it works with God. You know, this is a relationship is about where your heart is for that other person, you know, and where your thoughts are for that person. Now, are they focused on God? When you love somebody, that's where your thoughts are going to be. It's going to be on that person. And it's the same way with God. You know, are your thoughts on God, who you love? So if you looked at that list that I gave you and you thought to yourself, well, you know what, I'm probably not dwelling with God, then, you know, I want you to go take some time and dwell with him. Don't beat yourself up over it. We're not here condemning anybody. We want you to be able to say, you know what, I don't think I've been dwelling with God, but I want to correct that. You know, I want to have a better relationship with God. So take this time, reach out and get to know God. Start by studying his word so you get to know who God is, and then dwell with him and, you know, let his peace comfort you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love that you put that list together for us, Tammy. And, you know, just as you've said, it's a jumping off point toward building that stronger relationship with God, because even just preparing for this episode, you know, I was saying, Lord, you know, how can I grow in dwelling with you? You know, I want more and more and more. So let's take a deeper look into the verse that you started us off with, Tammy, Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so as you look at the Hebrew meaning of the word dwells here in this use, you'll see it referred to like sitting down in quiet. Many times in our lives, we're so busy, we fail to quiet our thoughts to rest on God, because we're racing from one thing to another, and our thoughts race as well. Even if in COVID you weren't physically racing, you know, were your thoughts on him? Were you dwelling with him? So I see stillness, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual, being a part of my dwelling with God. And I'm just wondering what our listeners think. Do you pause long enough to hear what God is whispering into your heart and your mind? Something to ask yourself and to think about and pray about. You can also consider the term dwelling to reflect what the Young's literal translation refers to as lodging habitually. And so that takes my thoughts to my habits. Is it my habit to turn to the Lord before I launch out on my own? I will be honest, this is something, you know, through my life, I've really had to cultivate a different habit, because my habit is action, right? But is it my habit to talk with God first? You know, is it my habit to include God in every area of my life, or just some? You know, and I'll say, you know, I'm not living that out perfectly, because I'm living in a fallen world. But what I do know is I'm marked as a child of the King. So I'm striving to make my dwelling with him my habit of life. And when I think about this in terms of my everyday life, you know, I picture my family. Tammy mentioned that. I dwell with my family, my husband and my children. And because we dwell in the same house together, we spend a lot of time together. We share our lives with each other in so many different ways. You know, I want to hear what's going on in their lives. I want to show them how much I care by providing for their needs. You know, we enjoy shelter and food and fellowship and fun together. And so if I see dwelling with God in a similar but much greater way, you know, wow, that can be transformative. I mean, I know God created families to support one another. And so if I want to see my daddy God as my great provider, you know, because he provides safety and shelter and sustenance and a loving relationship and fun, right? Some people don't think of their relationship with God with fun, but there are things, there are times I see things or even see things in myself and I go, God, I know you're laughing, you know? So it's even fun in the dwelling, right? I know you have some thoughts on how you incorporate dwelling with God into your daily life, Tammy. So talk to us about that.
Well, I sure do, Joe, Heather. And I just got to say, you calling him your daddy guy. Woo! That's a new one for me. I just think that's so adoring. You know, seriously, I think about my father guy, but my daddy guy. That's even more personal. And I really like what you had to say about it being a habit. And that's something that I'm going to ponder on this week, you know, thinking about what are my habits. Is it my habits to go to God first, like you were saying, or instantly, you know, jump ahead. I got to handle this, it's, you know. And I think that's something important to ponder this week. And I'm encouraging those who are listening to go ahead and take what Joe Heather said and look at your habits, you know. And, you know, is it your habit to put, you know, God first, you know, as part of dwelling with him? So back to talking about dwelling, I want to take a look at John 14:23. And this is just another aspect of dwelling with God. Now, in my book, I talk about how this whole thing came up. It's quite interesting. But I have this verse massive over top. It takes up my entire wall over top of my bookshelf. It's stenciled up there. And I'm going to go ahead and read it for you. So it's Jesus is talking. It says in John 14:23, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and we will come and make our home with them." So I love this verse. I mean, I really do. This verse is talking about dwelling with God. Now, God gave me this verse when I moved into my house. He wanted it to be a constant reminder that this is his house, that we are in this house and we are going to basically, I didn't even know at the time, but we're basically going to dwell with God because I want God, you know, I want this, I'm going to raise my kids to know the Lord. I want my house to be protected. You know, it is the Lord's house. This is a place, you know, of fellowship with God. And so I have it, it's huge on my wall, so I can see it from any point in my room. I don't have to put my glasses on to read it. But I wanted to go back. So let's go ahead and look at John 14:23 again. So it's talking about dwelling with God. And this is another question to ask yourself about dwelling with God. Number one, and I have a list today. Number one, are you obedient to God? Now, a lot of people don't like that word obedience. But, you know, Jesus was obedient to his Father. So number two, do you obey the teaching of Jesus? And of course, number three is, well, what did Jesus teach? Because some of you may be thinking, what is she talking about? What did Jesus teach? What does this have to do with obedience? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So one thing that Jesus commanded us to do was to love others as he loves us. So you can find this in John 15:12. My command is this. He commands us, love each other as I have loved you. He's not going to ask us to do anything that he has not already done first for us. So the question, you know, to ask yourself, and I did some reflection when I was putting the book together, is do you love others this way? Think about how you treat the people that you work with every day, your neighbors, strangers that you interact with at the supermarket, people in traffic, you know, do you reflect outwardly the love that Jesus has for you? So if you did a self-reflection and you found that you're not always expressing the love of Jesus towards others, you know, don't be disheartened. Don't be disheartened, but take this opportunity to change that. And you know, there's always an opportunity when you recognize there's something not fruitful inside of you that you can change that and make it fruitful. So how do you do that? Well, you become aware of how you are representing Jesus in your everyday life. And this is not talking about your Sunday best here. You just put on your best suit and you go to church and you're perfect on Sundays. This is talking about how you act every day. People watch us. I know we've talked about when you don't act right, how that affects other people. But you know, you are supposed to be representing the light of Jesus within you everywhere that you go. And when you have that light shining inside of you, it's going to attract attention. People are going to want to have, and first they're going to want to know what you have. And then they're going to, because they want it. They want to be happy like you. They want to have that joy that radiates out because you're different. You know, when you're reflecting Jesus, they know there's something different about you. So share your love with Jesus, that Jesus has with you, with others. So how do you do this? Well, if you had a chance to listen to Nadine, we recently did a two-part interview with Nadine Araji, and she really shared about how she didn't understand about how she had self-love. And so she took the example of Jesus and she said, well, I'm going to love myself the way Jesus loves me. What a great example. I mean, I was just, wow. That was just wonderful when she shared that information. And so I encourage you, if you missed that episode, to go back and watch it. But we can take the same thing with not just how Jesus loves us for self-love, but you can take that same example and say, well, how am I supposed to love others? Well, you look at how does Jesus love you? How does Jesus treat you? You know, how forgiving is he? How patient is he with you? So I made another list here, today's a day of lists. So here are a few examples. Because the other thing I want to point out, too, is that when Jesus said to love you, and he's talking about in John, love you is love others the way I love you. He's talking 100%. He's not saying just love a third of what I do. You don't just say, God loves me this much, but you're only getting a little bit, you know, because I don't, you know, that's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to reflect that love. So here are some examples of a list that can help you. Now, this list is a how to love others like Jesus loves you. Now, this is just a few I picked. I'm sure you can go add to the list. You know, maybe that's a good exercise to go see how many things you can list of how God loves you and then meditate on them. Maybe pick one a day and focus on today. I'm going to focus on this aspect of how Jesus loves me, and I'm going to try and love others that way one day. So number one, be kind. Number two, be helpful. Number three, be generous. Number four, be patient. Number five, be compassionate. And number six, be forgiving. Now, ouch. I'm sure that last one, with people like, I'm good with the first five, Tammy, but I'm not so sure I'm forgiving. And I know that's a tough one. I mean, we're going to do an episode on forgiveness one day. God worked in my heart for decades on forgiveness. But it's very important. This is one of the teachings. If you want to dwell with God, this is one of the things that Jesus taught. So I'm going to go ahead and share some verses with you here on that. So Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate. Some of the numbers from the list to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Again, just as he forgave you. Same thing with love. You love others like he loved you. You forgive others like Jesus forgave you. And then in Colossians 3:13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance, like a resentment, against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Same way, same measure. It's always the same measure with God. He doesn't never give you a measure and expect you to give a different measurement. So this is an act of obedience. Now, I know it's likely harder than loving others. But when you obey what Jesus has taught, you are doing it out of your love. And this is another way that you can dwell with God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Tammy. Because, you know, as you said, obedience and love are just a critical part of dwelling with God. And, you know, when I think about it from my human perspective, my thoughts go to my family life. You know, I've tried to share with my kids that obeying me as their parent is a way that they show me that they love me and respect me. And it's the same for us grown-ups, right? We show God how much we love him through our obedience and doing what he's called us to, which is loving others. So as you said, Tammy, that obedience includes forgiving one another, being kind, being compassionate, all those things from your list. And, you know, I have to say, it is easier to live into forgiveness with forgiveness, offering it when we're dwelling with God, because we have the truth of his grace, which brings peace of mind. And then the peace of mind brings a more peaceful presence in how we show up in, you know, our day-to-day relationships. And then this links to another part of the scripture that, you know, I wanted to point out today. All right, so back to Psalm 91:1. It talks about dwelling with God in the secret place of the Most High. And so I was like wondering about this secret place. And so when I looked at the Hebrew word here for secret, it means hiding place. So when God creates a place for you and me to dwell with Him, it makes sense that it would be a special reserved place for those of us who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so as I was thinking about this, and I know this won't really illustrate it well, but I thought of a kid's clubhouse, right? This special place, it's up in a tree. Not everybody can get to it, you know, but those of us in the club can find there, right? And I know that doesn't quite illustrate it, but it's what kept coming up for me. So for you, I don't know what version of the Bible you might be reading right now, but you might notice that the words Most High are capitalized. And to me, that clearly says that it's God's special hangout, so much so that it's got His name on it. And I know that these words, you know, with these words, he's telling us it's not just a place for anyone who walks in if their heart's not in the right place. It's a special place, a secret place for those who are of us who are living with Him, living for Him, sitting with Him, being with Him day by day. And, you know, I do want to acknowledge that you as a listener might be sitting there thinking, hey, you know, I'm never going to get an invitation to that secret place of the Most High. You know, why? Because I've made a lot of bad choices in my life. Well, I want you to rest assured, we've all made bad choices and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, of what it takes to get that invitation to that special relationship with God. I can't do it on my own. But Christ Jesus made the way for you to get there and to be at peace with God today.
Yeah, that is so true. A lot of things to think about with what you said. Because there is, you know, God, the door is always open. He says, knock and come in, right? He's there waiting. And so don't let things that in your past keep you from, this is an invitation, right? We're talking about this dwelling is an open invitation. It's your choice to come and dwell with God. He's there waiting. He's not going to reject anybody who wants to dwell with Him. You know, I think that's a lot what she was alluding to here was, yeah, the door's open to you. It's a special place to come and dwell with Him. So talking about, you know, part of the obedience part of forgiveness is, you know, Jesus sent His Son. He loved you so much that He sent His own Son to die for you, for your sins. He set the great example of what forgiveness looks like. It was out of love. You ever think about Jesus on the cross dying for you? That was love. That was love for you. And if you're struggling to forgive someone or even yourself, like Jehovah was talking about, feeling bad about some things, don't focus on whether you or that person deserves it. Because none of us deserve Jesus dying for us and forgiving us. Nope. Not a one. And when you think about choosing to forgive, yes, it is a choice. It's a choice that you make whether you choose to forgive. You are choosing to forgive somebody because you love God. That's why you do it. Now, when you can learn to see forgiveness this way, it makes it so much easier. Remember that the enemy uses unforgiveness and resentments to keep you separated from God, right? So there's a secret dwelling place, and the enemy wants to keep you separated from God. And he uses a lot of things, a lot of arrows that he throws at you. But one of these things that he's throwing at you is trying to get you to not forgive, because it's one of the commandments. And he knows that God wants you to forgive. So he's going to tell you how justified you are to hate that person. They're not even sorry. And on and on and on about, you know, how they just don't deserve your forgiveness. But that has absolutely nothing to do with forgiveness. And you might be thinking, what is she talking about? It has everything to do with forgiveness. But that's the worldly point of view. From God's point of view, remember, Jesus died for you and you didn't deserve it. You, when you forgive somebody, you are doing it because God forgave you. And you're doing it out of love. So just a reminder again, that you're not dwelling with God when you're being disobedient. I know these are some hard words that we're saying, but we're doing it out of love. We're telling you the truth because know the truth and it will set you free. Mm-hmm. Ignorance is never bliss. It just never is. So when you're being disobedient, it's when you're not forgiving others and when you're not loving others. That's just an example of it. Because remember, the verse talks about, we'll get down to the verse here in a second, because you show your love for God when you're being obedient. And that's how you dwell with God. That's just one of the ways that you can dwell with God, is by being obedient to what Jesus taught. Because if you look at that verse again in John 14:23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, you know, he will obey my teaching. We just talked about what some of those are. And then my Father will love him, and you will come to him and make our home with him. He's talking about dwelling with you. That's how it is to dwell with God. So if you desire to dwell with God, but maybe you're struggling with some of this, you know, being obedient to some of his teachings. I know some of these things are hard for a lot of people, especially out in the world. And if you don't have a strong foundation in the word, it's hard. It's hard to learn how to do these things. I suggest you just go have a chat with God, your daddy God. Go have a chat with your daddy God. Open up your heart to him. You know, share with him why you're struggling to forgive. Look, and just tell him, this person hurt me. I have been hurt. I mean, look at, we talked about what happened to my marriage, how he became an alcoholic and we lost our house and everything. He cheated on me when I'm recovering from a car accident. You talk about pain. You talk about hurt. I brought it all to God. Right. And whatever you're going through that you feel like is keeping you from this, bring it to God. Have a chat, you know, because the enemy's going to use this to keep you separated from God. But God's like, no, come here. Bring all your troubles to me. Come here. He wants you to be able to love others. He wants you to be able to forgive others. Because when you do that, you're being like Christ and you're going to be able to dwell with God.
Mm. Wow. So powerful. Just as you were sharing that, Tammy, a verse came up for me. I was sharing with my kids today. It actually came from my mother. She sent it to him, and it was, you know, God says to you, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And that love, he wants to comfort you, right, in the pain, in the sorrow, in the struggle to forgive. So it's just such powerful words. Thanks for that, Tammy. So now I just want to take a quick sponsor break and let you guys know a little more about us. Love and Encouragement to Live By today is sponsored by our very own Tammy, otherwise known as T.S. Thompson. She's just released her new book called My God in Whom I Trust, and it's a study of Psalm 91, what we're talking about today. She's also the author of the Christian book series, The Land of Good Dreams. And here it is, God is Able, a study of 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is awesome. You got to get it. Tammy has a deep desire to move readers with her books and to share the light of God to uplift and inspire. She is blessed with the gift of storytelling, as you can tell here, and she believes the world is in the need of good, family-friendly books everyone can enjoy. You can find out more about Tammy and her books at ts-thompson.com. That's ts-thompson.com. And we'll include a link to her new book in the notes section of this episode. Plus, if you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, contact us at loveandencouragement.com.
Thank you, Johanna. That was a wonderful sponsor message. And yeah, and the book does go a lot deeper than we're able to really go today. We're just really able to scratch the surface on it. And there's 16 verses in that, and dwelling is only, they only talk about dwelling in two of them, but it's in the other verses too. But so today we can only share just a little bit. So if you want to dive deeper into it, I suggest go ahead and get the book. But I want to talk about a little bit about since I did the study on Psalms 91, you know, that led to my book, because it started with a study. This is how most things start. I start studying a topic, and then it, you know, God will let me know that's going to be a book, and it gets moved in my filing system over. So I know that it's going to be a book. And that's kind of what happened with this one. I started studying it. And, but since I did that, I've been really looking at having, like Johanna was like, I want to dwell deeper. I want to have a deeper relationship with God. And one of the awareness things that he brought out to me is where my thoughts dwell. And I talk about this in the book a little bit, because it's more than just where you physically dwell. It's really a lot of it, I have to say, is where your thoughts are. And God's directed me all the time to kind of shift my focus Because if my thoughts linger too long where they shouldn't, that's, and I'm not talking about sinful things. It just becomes unfruitful. It's not good for me to think about things that aren't good for me to dwell, right? To dwell on lack or dwell on different things. Like, for example, you know, I've been personally, Joe Heather knows, I've been struggling with some health related issues. You know, and as I was going through this book and stuff, and, you know, God would speak to me and I'd hear him say, Tammy, don't dwell on your symptoms, but come and dwell with me on my word and on my promises. You know, I've also had a few stressful relationship issues come up recently in the past couple of weeks or whatever. And, you know, some of these people have a history of being toxic at times. I guess that's the best way to kind of explain it. And sometimes with family relationships or different people, you can't really avoid that always. But I found myself, you know, constantly dwelling on the conversations that we'd had, on some of the things that they were doing. And, you know, that's really not good for me to do that. And God be reminding me, Tammy, don't dwell on those things. I kept hearing, Tammy, don't dwell on those things. Every single time I would be there, I would linger a little bit too long. Tammy, don't dwell on those things. And God is right. He's so right. Because there are healthier things and more important things that can occupy my time. I'm a single mom. I got a lot of things to think about besides letting people take up space in my head, you know, that don't belong there. And but that's God bringing things to my attention of where my thoughts dwell. And it was such a valuable lesson for me. So now I find myself being able to, the more you do things, it's a repetitive thing. I start finding where my thoughts are dwelling. Are they dwelling on godly things? Are they dwelling on things of this world? And I can course correct a lot better because he wants me to be focusing on things like his word, his promises, his favor, his blessings, his joy, and his peace. These are good things for me to be thinking on. He doesn't want me to be thinking about negative things about his lack, sickness, stress, and so forth. And we've done a lot of episodes here about a lot of things. And we brought up a lot of scriptures in there about how they talk about, you know, don't be discouraged. Don't focus on lack. Don't become weary. There's all these, they're all pointing back really on the foundation of don't dwell on these things, right? Don't dwell on these things, but dwell with me. And so I really hope that what we're talking about today really encourages you to strive to, like we were talking about, Joe Heather wants a deeper one. I want a better relationship with God, to dwell with God. So remember, it's where your mind and your heart and your strength all goes into your effort to dwell with God.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and as we've been talking about dwelling with God in the secret place of the Most High, you know, keep in mind, this is all in the present tense. It's not about a time in the past when you dwelt with him or a time in the future. Oh, I'll dwell with him in heaven just in the future. It means an ongoing relationship each and every day of your life. And, you know, we look at this from a eternity perspective. So it's not just about the life in the present world, but it's your life to come in heaven. And, you know, I believe that dwelling with God means that you can rest in your spirit, feeling cared for by the Lord, and that the choices that you make in your life reflect your joyful communion with him every day. So I sort of think about, Lord, I want you to change me, to get me to the point that my dwelling with you in this present world is going to be so rich and so deep that when my physical body dies and I move on to heaven, it'll be like I just walked into another room in my house. I mean, it's going to be, you know, we're still dwelling. We're still there together, communing, spending time with each other. And so, you know, dwelling with God for me is just about constantly being with him. You know, I wake up thanking him for the new day and dedicating the day to him. You know, I spend time with God and Jesus, reading his word and looking at it deeply, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal what do I need to learn and what can I share with others. You know, my coaching business is dedicated to the Lord. And my husband and I have another small business together that is also founded in the Lord. You know, I speak to my kids every day about the wonders of the Lord, you know, and I am blessed to have a husband. And some of you may not have a husband that walks with you daily, but You may have an adult child or a friend or someone that you can share. I mean, he's talking about God. It's talking about how amazing he is. And, you know, doing that each day, praying for each other, having a prayer partner is a part of dwelling with God, you know, the thankfulness of each day. You know, asking God how you can serve and be his hands and feet in the world. You know, it's just like breathing. You know, we take a breath, we exhale. It's just who we are. And, you know, it should be so intricately woven into the cells of our being that it can never be unbound. And that may sound so far from where you are today, or it might sound as just where you are in this moment. But, you know, I pray for that for you if you don't have that, because to me, it's such an honor to be marked as God's. And I personally literally cannot imagine a day in my life now that isn't saturated by my love of him and his love for me in return.
Wow. That's beautiful. It really is. It's a beautiful picture that you painted about dwelling with God. Wow. For those listening out there, and you know, like she was saying, you might not have this, but here's something. Why don't you just do a simple exercise if you don't really know how to dwell with God? Let's just start with one day. Take a day. I'm sure you have some free time. You know, as busy as we are, we all can make some free time. We make free time to go to the movies, to watch TV, not really go to the movies these days, but, you know, to go do other things. Yeah. You could take a day and just dedicate one day to God. It doesn't have to be Sunday. To say, today, God, I'm going to give it to you. You've given me my entire life. I'm going to spend one day with you and just start with that and see how it goes. Spend the whole day thinking about God and doing things and seeing, you know, seeing God come alive in your life in that one day. And then look at how that went. Maybe journal it and then use that as a blueprint to how you can start to learn to live and dwell with God on a daily basis. So I hope we've covered so much today, but I hope we've given you a deeper understanding of what it means to really dwell with God, because we want you to have it. We want you to have the promises and stuff too that come with it, because there are so many promises that God sets aside. When you read Psalms 91, he sets aside promises and protections for those who dwell with him. So there's another verse in another psalm that is another special one to me, which is Psalms 23. And at the very last verse, I'll read it to you, Psalms 23:6. This talks about dwelling, and I think it's a perfect wrap-up for today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mm-hmm. Now, when reading this verse, I've always thought that, you know, what this is talking about is when I go off and be in heaven, like Joe had was talking about, when my body kind of poofs off and walk into the next room with God, when I die, I go to heaven. But this is talking about right now. We can have this right now. If you connect this with dwelling with God, with Psalms 91, you can see that it's more like Joe was talking about. It's not some distant future thing. It's today. This is offered for you today, that you can start right now today. If you haven't been dwelling with God, you can start today by dwelling with God. And you can dwell with him every day, in every situation, in your heart, and in your mind, and in your soul.
Amen and amen. Oh, we hope today's episode blessed you greatly. Take some time to dwell with the Lord. And just as a reminder for our listeners, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. And as Tammy mentioned, you can become a part of our email list by visiting loveandencouragement.com. We look forward to you joining us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.